Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Hurdle Apparel, high-tech socks, LER, lower extremity review, and MVP Sports Parents Magazine, and UK Health Radio. We've got a great doubleheader. Live from Australia, Sue Williams. She's a sports hypnosis performance and recovery specialist. She'll be joining me along with returning locally Joe Chura. He's an entrepreneur. He's the founder of the very exciting non-alcoholic beer Go Brewing. He's a supporter of the disabled athlete Achilles International. He's also very involved locally in the relationship with the Naperville and community concerns. Sue Williams from Australia, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Well, thank you, Dr. Bob. It's my pleasure to be here.
Give us some background on yourself and the topic of sports hypnosis, which is a new one.
Yeah. I've been a competitive horse rider for many years, and I got into the field of holistic wellness probably about 15 years ago. And just one thing led to another. I started with mindfulness and then moved on to NLP, and that was a natural progression to the hypnosis. And being a competitive horse rider, many of my other horse riders who, because I'm an older woman, I could say, a lot of my friends rode as when they were young. Then they went off and had their families, did other things for a number of years, and then returned to riding once they had a bit of time back, once their kids were off their hands. And then they were very surprised to find that they couldn't just get back on their horse and ride the way they did when they were younger. And I saw this happening all the time. And because they had changed physically, as you do when you have kids, your whole body changes, they got back on and weren't as capable, and then one thing led to another and they had accidents, or they just felt they weren't in control as they were when they were younger.
Yeah, it became
and
a mental challenge.
It changed their mindset so much. And I saw there was an absolute need for someone to help these women because they were, say, in their 40s, 50s and 60s. And they had their horse, but a lot of them were just too scared to ride. And there was no actual reason to be scared. It was just the mindset they'd developed because they weren't as confident as they had been when they were younger. So that's how I developed the sport hypnotherapy practice. But dealing with the equestrians just led to other sports because people would ask me, you know, I'm a basketballer, I'm a golfer, football player, whatever it is, martial arts even.
See, but the addition of the hypnosis is what's interesting. You know, the mental training's a big, big, big deal, even though 25 years ago sports didn't know how to spell it for the most part. They really didn't pay any attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mental training was considered voodoo in a lot of ways. Now it's a big, big deal.
Oh.
And the area, though, yep, of hypnosis, which has been around, it seems, forever, a different additive, you know, where people say, you know, self-hypnosis, hypnosis from somebody who's doing it with you. What is your perception?
Oh, it has been around for forever, as you say. Going back to ancient times, there's recorded activity using trance, because it wasn't obviously called hypnosis back then, but using trance was quite common. Then we get into the 1700s, and it came into the area of people actually using it therapeutically. And then obviously a lot of study was done on hypnosis and mind control during the Cold War. That was quite huge, and nations spent a lot of money doing that. But it also gave a bit of a false interpretation of what hypnosis is, and that's when people, I think, started thinking, oh, I couldn't use hypnosis, it's that mind control thing. Whoever's doing it, they're going to take over my mind and I won't be able to control what's happening. Which
yeah, sounds like United States politics, you know, in one regard or another, you know. But the idea of the for relaxation and recovery, the ability again to get over injury, well, like you said, get back on the horse was kind of a great expression that meant being able to return to almost any sport. Do you find that professionally, is it the world of psychiatry or psychology or coaching or mental trainers who, for the most part, of the are the specialists in the world of hypnosis?
Yeah, I find that it's a funny thing in Australia, because I know there are sports psychologists and sport hypnotherapists out there, and a wide range of athletes are benefiting from the work that they do, but it's not publicised, because the more I've looked into it, the more I've found, but you just don't hear about it. I think there's still a bit of a stigma about, or, you know, if I have to go to one of these people, obviously there's something wrong with my mental state.
That's always
so
been a challenge.
Far from the truth.
Yes. That's always been a big challenge in all areas of sports. High performance has been skepticism. Now, in the United States, with the Olympics, between Simone Biles, the great gymnast superstar, Michael Phelps, the superstar, both talked about mental health. Both made a big deal about problems they had. It made a big difference in people's acceptance of the fact that people didn't need to be ashamed in some way if there was could be help available. Do you practice where people learn how to do it themselves, like a meditation? You know, you mentioned the word trance, and that's an interesting term.
Yep. Oh, well, it's a natural human condition to be in trance. We're in and out of trance all day. So, you know, you're reading a really interesting, engrossing book, and an hour or two just zips by and you don't even realise, and you're in trance. Or you drive somewhere, you drive from work home, and you arrive home and you don't even remember driving for that distance, because your subconscious mind has come forward and taken control while you've been thinking of other things. So it's a perfectly natural state to be in. People just don't realise it. But there's definitely still the mental health stigma, definitely here in Australia, that's for sure. And people just, I think their image of hypnosis is skewed very much by the stage.
Oh, definitely. There's an awareness, the necessity of education of exactly what we're talking about. Is there a website area people can go to, Sue, to find out about you and your work?
Oh, definitely. Yes, mine is sporthypnotherapy.com. So all one word, there's no S in the middle. It's not sports. It's just sporthypnotherapy.com. They can certainly find out a lot more about what hypnosis and hypnotherapy is.
The relationship of sports parents, their kids, coaches, again, even serious athletes with their coaches, with the pressure.
Yep.
The reason I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, was the epidemic in capital letters of youth sports overuse injuries, just so much overscheduling and overdoing, in so many ways.
Yeah.
What ages? I know you mentioned the adults, maybe that you started with some of the horse riding field, but what ages have you found in various sports that you're paying attention to roughly?
Oh, I've got kids from 10 years old in the equestrian area because inter-school equestrian sport is huge here, especially in Victoria where
I am. Really? I have a pearl for you, dear.
So,
I have a sports yes. doctor pearl for you in the world of riding. Orthotics are a big deal. Yes, orthotics are a big deal in the shoes or boots mm-hmm. for proper alignment and stability on the horse. And sometimes that's neglected. Yeah. You know, jockeys, it's funny, it was just the Kentucky Derby, but jockeys are great athletes. And I used to see some aquariums and that we were dealing with knee problems and whatever. So this is a lot of training. So some of these kids are riding very, very early. So is it from 5 to 95?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And isn't that interesting that you mention orthotics? Because I know people try the very many different types of stirrups, the actual physical metal or plastic stirrup, because you put wedges in the stirrups. But isn't that interesting? I hadn't considered.
Yeah, that's
orthotics.
The wedges.
I will start mentioning that.
Yes, a sports podiatrist who really knows alignment. Does that young rider have flat feet? Do they have high arches?
Mm.
What's their, you know, are they knock-kneed? Yeah. Are they, et cetera? So many times we'll see much more stability, whether you're coming down from a rebound. I had three sisters, all of them. They were figure skaters and they were equestrians over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And orthotics were magic for them. But orthotics under the proper hands when it comes to that expertise, is something that absolutely you should consider. I'll give you an analogy. If someone said, "I need prescription glasses, but I'm going to go to the pharmacy and get reader glasses," might be helpful, but it's not like you got a prescription in that regard. So, are you teaching your athletes, or in order to be able to incorporate, how long does it take me, Susan, to learn? To get benefits of sports hypnosis, just in general, would you say?
Yeah, along the lines of what you were saying with the orthotics and the glasses, you can just go and get the downloadable audios for self-hypnosis. But really, if you have issues that are bubbling away under the surface, you're very much better to have a hypnotherapy session so that someone who is trained and qualified can guide you through your issues, find out what the root cause is, and be able to remove it and replace it with more positive.
How have you found in Australia, Susan? Yeah, how have you found in Australia, Susan, the relationship, let's say, with medical doctors and or coaches with sports hypnosis? What's been your experience?
Most of them are quite ignorant about it, and purely because it's really still not commonplace, especially for athletes and sports.
That's why we're making this show available for all your people.
I'm thrilled about that, and I'm trying to make it my job too, just to spread the word as much as I can, because people just don't turn to it. They come to me as the last resort, as they probably come to you with the...
Yes.
Well,
we want them to learn is you should be the first resort where it comes again to rest and recovery or high performance. My young figure skaters, and figure skating has for 40 years been my specialty in the world of orthotics, they were practicing visualization years and years ago, and most other sports thought they were nuts. They didn't see really the value as it came to that mental practice side of things. But hypnosis adds the word you use. It's a therapeutic tool also, isn't it, to be helpful in so many different areas. Well, somehow with these connections to Australia, and live radio. We lost her, and we're going to be coming back in a second. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Hey, everybody, from Australia back to Illinois. I want to welcome back Joe Chura. He's an entrepreneur. He is the founder of the explosive non-alcoholic beer Go Brewing. He's an avid supporter of Disabled Athletes Achilles International. He works locally also with the Naperville Police and Community Relations. Joe, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Dr. Bob, thanks for having me.
You know, we first had you on. I don't know if you were brewing beer in your basement or whatever you might have been doing at the time. We were talking about your relationship with the police department and the whole side of physical fitness. And since then, you sure really started something very, very exciting. Give me some background, Joe, on yourself quickly and Go Brewing.
Yeah, background on myself, born south side of Chicago. Worked on the assembly line at Ford Motor Company for 5 years, and ended up in the marketing sales division at Ford, where I learned all about automotive and digital marketing, and to have a really good or to get a good work ethic, and ended up finding a passion in creating a digital marketing company in 2011, and then 2013 built a software company, grew those to some of the fastest growing businesses in the United States. Number 39 on the Inc. 500, ended up selling those to Cars.com in 2018. And along the way, I developed a too much of a like for alcohol consumption, and I watched my father succumb to alcoholism, my brothers in the hospital every week. I knew something had to change in my life, and I needed to get healthier. Found non-alcoholic beer to really be that magical, I call it like this magical potion. It's this liquid that made me think I was drinking and helped me curb my cravings, and ended up losing a ton of weight, feeling great, and rest is history. I wanted to do the same for to create more of a variety for myself, but for other people as well, and built Go Brewing. Launched in 23, having brewed out of my garage, and all at 22, the very end of 21, and now we're in approximately 2,000 locations across the U.S. And last year we did 30,000
orders online.
Yeah,
you sure put that
online.
Digital marketing experience to work, you know, over the few radio shows that we've done. But also, Joe, you know, I in the sports doctor over the decades, I've had addiction specialists, I've had alcohol specialists. We've talked about pain medicine in the world of sports medicine. Big, big topic. And coming like you did from the area, you know, the idea of something that was considered bland, non-alcoholic, whatever it would be, you really put the pizzazz in the fun side, the camaraderie side, even the therapeutic side of this non-alcoholic part of it. And I think that's a big addition, I believe, in the area of health and wellness.
Yeah, I think so as well. And we're seeing now the emergence of non-alcohol beverages and consumption, and the people just drinking less overall because they're realizing now the negative impacts that it can have on your health if you do it too much, right? If you're drinking too much. I mean, I think good in moderation, but need to be careful. And that's why the rise of the non-alcoholic beer industry and really non-alcoholic beverages is gaining so much steam because people are realizing that there's just not good for you long term.
Well, the fact that there could be a fun alternative, a tasty, creative alternative, I think, again, is a big deal. You know, it's not like you're becoming a preacher and you're talking about just the bad side of alcohol. You're talking about being able to add the getting together, the camaraderie, the friendship, have a good time, root for your favorite team, et cetera, along with the alcoholic side of things. And the area of sports at almost any level and the area of rehab at almost any level, this is a very, very big deal. This whole gigantic topic on the sports doctor, I label as the mental game, you know, whether we're talking with my first guest, Susan, in the world of sports hypnosis, or we're talking about paying attention to the health and wellness side, so much so that we had to change your picture in the promo, man, when you were first on the show. And you said, you can't use it anymore. I'm an athlete. Talk a little bit about your involvement with the world of the disabled athletes as Achilles International, Joe.
Yeah, well, thanks for asking that question. In 2015, I saw a gentleman speak named Cedric King, and at that time I was pretty lazy, to be honest with you. I was watching him as a member of the audience, and he gets up there on stage, and he doesn't have legs, and he's talking about the 10 marathons he's ran, and I turned to my business partner at the time, and, you know, the most I ran is a 5K you know, maybe once a year, and I was like, we're running the Chicago Marathon this year. He inspired me so much that we decided to do that, and in 2015, I ended up doing that. It was extremely hard. The second half of it, I even created a podcast called Not Almost There after seeing a sign at mile 13 that said Not Almost There, which is very,
right.
Very true. And you know, little did I know, years later, 5-6 years later, I'd be running as a support runner for Cedric, who runs for Achilles, and we ended up running together in 2021 the first time, then 22 again, and then last year. So we've ran with them multiple times now, and it's been just an incredible, humbling experience to help someone else, and the Achilles Foundation is incredible. And what I found, Bob, was the most amazing thing about these athletes is not one of them feels sorry for themselves. Not one of them can you go up to and say, oh, I'm so sorry for you. They're like, what are you talking about? Like, they don't look at anything that they have in terms of a disability. They look at it as, I have the opportunity to do this, and yeah, I'm going to do what I can do.
We could sure all learn something, you know, from that, to say the least, that mental attitude that is learned very, very early as a young boy or girl or whatever it is in life, and what they have to do to overcome. Now, of course, as the support runner, you got to show up yourself, don't you?
Oh, my. Yeah, that was my... So, quick story on this. Cedric and I have been training. It's my first time being a support runner in my life. I don't even know really what it was, what it entailed. So we're training together virtually. He lives in Atlanta, Georgia for 6 months. And we're sending the workouts back and forth. And the whole mission was to get under... It was to pace under 5 hours and 40 minutes, because that would qualify him for Boston. So... Fast forward to race day, we're doing really well the first half of the marathon. Second half, we start to struggle, and by mile 25, he's like, I got to stop, and I'm like, we can't stop. At that point, I knew we weren't going to hit 5 hours and 40 minutes, but we ended up stopping. I ended up taking off his leg, which was, you know, the first time I ever did anything like that, and he basically looks at me and he says, you know, what's our time? And I was afraid to tell him that we aren't going to qualify for Boston, because I felt like I failed him. And I said, you know, we're probably pacing at 6 hours or 6 hours and 15 minutes. And I said it really disappointingly. He turns to me and he goes, Joe, I haven't finished a marathon faster than 7 hours and 15 minutes. And I'm like, what? Why are we training for 5 hours and 40 minutes? We've been training for that for 6 months. And he said the best thing that I'll always remember, and it's a lesson for myself and anyone listening to us. He goes, because that's what it would take for me to qualify for Boston. It didn't matter, Bob, what he did before. It had nothing to do with it. What mattered was the mission at hand, and it was just an incredible experience. He ended up getting a PR by an hour, so a personal record, which most people get seconds, milliseconds. This guy got an hour. It was incredible.
You know, it's interesting. I've had people in the world of technology, of course, one of my expertise is orthotics, the whole role of the foot and lower extremity, whatever the sport happens to be. But the world of prosthetics, how it has become so sophisticated, so incredibly efficient, it really has been a wonder to watch with these different athletes who are able to function. We just got to get you to add balance work and strengthen those feet and ankles, Joe, with all that running. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right. But, man, I'm telling you, anyone listening to this, you're struggling, if you're on the struggle bus and you just can't get the motivation, sign up to help an athlete, because it's not about you, it's about them, and it's amazing what you can do by helping someone else and focusing on them, and all of a sudden you'll finish in probably a PR too, and you're going to be like, what happened? It doesn't even feel like work.
So is it Achilles International, I would imagine it has a site that people could find out all about what they do and what they're involved with?
Absolutely, yeah. They're an amazing global organization. They have headquarters out of New York. They have a Chicago chapter as well. They have an event in Chicago a couple weeks from now that I'm going to attend, and incredible. So anyone listening to that, check out the organization, the website.
Yeah,
and
we'll definitely have to get somebody on. I'm trying to remember if I had somebody from that group, how long they've been around. Definitely want to include somebody in the future.
Well, I have the people for you. Just let me know. I'll make it happen.
Absolutely. In that regard. So the idea, again, of being on the non-alcohol side, do you see the world of wine in some way, shape, or form, or maybe it's there already, joining the non-alcoholic side of things?
It's very much there. The reality, though, wine, you know, wine has this unique taste
different animal.
It is, and I haven't had one that I was like, wow, they nailed it. It's just, I think it's a tougher ticket versus beer. What the benefit there is, like, many times you can't even tell you're drinking something without alcohol. With wine, you can definitely tell. So there's a little wood to chop there in terms of getting the product more akin to the alcoholic version. But they're certainly making a ton of progress, and there's people that drink it like solely, the people that don't drink beer.
What are some of the most popular flavors in the world of the Go Brewing?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'd say IPA is definitely number one, a hazy IPA, not unlike the regular beer segments. The second most popular we have, actually the top two. One's a double IPA, one's a hazy tropical. Then from there, we have the Pilsner, which the lagers are making a big comeback right now. And then you have sours, and then the wide variety of different beers. People that love dark beers tend to love stouts and porters, and they're just all over them, and they can't get enough of them. So there's that segment too. But I would say that that probably falls in maybe the latter part of the top five versus the top three or four.
You know, on the other important side of the non-alcoholic world, the fact of being able to pay attention to that, how has the world of Alcoholic Anonymous, the medical side, the world, how have they responded to the exciting addition of the non-alcoholic beer world? Has there been any attention in those from that world?
Last year, we sold 30,000 orders, so 20,000 unique customers, and we asked that question because we were curious. How many people are sober? How many people want to drink in moderation? And between 20 to 30% of our audience are people that don't drink, they're sober. So it's really exciting for that audience, and it's exciting for retailers and the industry in general, because I like to say that's an accretive audience. They didn't have anything to drink before. Now there's a beverage that is essentially made for them that's perfect for them. Now there's certainly people, Dr. Bob, in that community that really can't drink non-alcoholic beer. And what I found is folks are on a spectrum where it's not the alcohol in the beer that would trigger them, but it's the taste, because it tastes so much like the real thing. But we get data on the people that purchase our product, not the people that don't, obviously. And the people that purchase it, there's a great percentage that are completely sober, and they really live for the flavor and the varieties, and they want the whole experience, but they just want it without alcohol.
Yeah. That sounds like a huge untapped area of the world of beverages, that whole side of things, instead of it being the, like I was mentioning before, going from the bummer side or the bland side, or I've got to stop with the alcohol, to the fun to their side of all these different flavors and the idea of how it fits in. That's a lot different than the car industry, I would assume. Or is it?
There's a lot of similarities, a lot of differences. But yeah, it's quite a bit different. And what's interesting about this segment too, and what I do is, like, you know, initially when I launched this in 22 out of my garage, like, you know, not a lot of people knew about it, but the people that did know kind of looked at me like I was nuts. And now, even today, when I say, oh yeah, one of the huge segments we have is our gluten-free beer, and they're like, wait, a gluten-free non-alcoholic beer? Who in the world, like, that's such a niche segment, but it's not. If anyone listening to this takes out their Amazon app and they type in the words gluten-free beer, you'll see our Freedom pop up as Amazon's recommended choice, because there is not only a cohort of customers that are non-alcoholic, but they have dietary restrictions, and they can't drink. And what we found by a happy accident is we were one of the only ones that actually made a beer without any gluten in it, versus reducing the gluten after the fact, which is how many of the gluten-free beers are
yeah,
made.
I want to talk to you about the youth world and some of that other side, or the other side of calories, when we come back. We're talking with Joe Chura. Go Brewing. Is it gobrewing.com, Joe, the site?
That's right.
Gobrewing.com. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doc. Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his three decades of publishing
He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER, Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of Sports Doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual, evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. We're local. We're in Chicago. We're talking to Joe Chura. He is the founder of Go Brewing, very active guy in the community. I remember when I first had met you, Joe, you were involved with the police organization, getting together, paying attention to the physical fitness side of the police force. How's that going?
It's going well. I'm the chairman of the Naperville Police Foundation, and we basically help serve many needs for the police department that it otherwise may not be covered under funding, mental health and wellness programs. Also, any sort of memorials or fundraising that needs to be done for that to honor fallen police officers.
And there's quite a few other things. You know, our friend who put us together, Lisa Ganji, I know for years, has introduced us. The idea of the relationship of the community and the police force, my gosh, it's so important in so many different areas. You know, at the end of the first segment, we were talking about, you know, whether or not some of the organizations who deal with alcoholism and other kinds of concerns, whether it's the medical community, the AA communities that pay attention, whether or not they're excited about the success of your organization, like Go Brewing, you know, non-alcoholic. What about the kids who drink Cokes and Pepsis, like non-alcoholic beer?
I don't know. I don't. We don't cater to that audience.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the product except the fact that it does taste like the real thing, and it could be considered a gateway.
That's a great question. The idea, which is, hey, it's come on, it's a Coke. Or it's a, whatever. So maybe we'll leave that up to the psychologist, I guess, sometime in the future, whether or not that community could also be involved in a situation. What is the calorie world like in comparison with regular beer, Joe, and non-alcoholic beer?
It's a fraction of what alcoholic beer is. And one of the things that may or may not be known is for every gram of alcohol, that's 7 completely empty calories that you're getting. So many beers will have, even like Michelob Ultra, when you see the calories there, those calories, I might say it's there's no carbs, but those calories are coming straight from alcohol, and that is not a good thing. That's actually worse for you than carbs. So we have beers that range from 35, 40 calories up to, if we intentionally make a beer that's like super sweet, like our donut stout, it could be 150, 170, but the average is about 70 calories. In comparison to a regular beer of that same style, might be 3 to 4 times as much. So you're getting a quarter of the calories you might otherwise consume with the same style.
Yeah, I would think that that's an important thing to point out one regard. Then I guess you could get yourself hooked up with a couple of sports teams.
Yeah, and it's, there's a ton of data about it being a great recovery drink. You could just Google that. There's a lot of articles.
That's a big deal.
Out about that.
Yeah, I think that's a big deal. It's a gigantic, again, in the world of sports drinks, which are, you know, my gosh, it's like semi-endless, or the world of water. And if that status, what you're talking about, is the reality, which is there's some data showing some recovery aspects, then that would make sense to make that aware. And I guess you're becoming an educator also, because this is a big area you're involved in, isn't it?
It is. I've learned a ton along the way. A lot of this, you know, you just learn by calculating what is in the beer, the output. We've sent a lot of our products to third-party labs. We have an in-house lab. Some of this is trial and error. Some of it is just like, you know, we learned that almost all our beers are actually under the gluten-free guidelines of 20 parts per million. That was like a happy accident. We weren't even going for that. We just did some third-party analysis, and now I could talk to that and why that's important, why people may not feel bloated when they're drinking. You know, it's like there's just every day I'm learning something new in this space. But, yeah, there's a lot of education to be had.
What is the comparison financially, for example, for a can of beer and a can of non-alcoholic beer? Is it comparable?
Yeah, I would say both the cost and the price to market is fairly comparable. It costs a little more to make non-alcoholic beer because there's other pieces of equipment that you need. So we don't de-alkalize the beer, but many breweries do, like Heineken Zero. So you need a huge piece of equipment to take out the alcohol, and then you have a byproduct that's waste, so you're going to get a significantly worse yield. But at minimum, you need what's called a tunnel pasteurizer, and that basically takes the beer fully packaged, lid on, closed, and it puts it through, let's just think about it as like a hot water shower for a period of time. For us, it's about 40 minutes. The can goes through this conveyance system to make sure that the beer, once it leaves the facility, is fine on a warm shelf, or it's fine and it's shelf stable. It doesn't re-ferment alcohol. It doesn't get bacterial growth in it. Because one thing about non-alcoholic beer versus alcohol is that it doesn't have the alcohol in it to act as a preservative.
Right. So the shelf life area, I guess, is important. I would imagine. So the Go Brewing is a big time, like you mentioned, available online?
We're online via our websites. We're online via Amazon. We have a beer club. We are also sold in about 2,000 locations, bars and restaurants, mainly Chicago, Ohio, Wisconsin right now. But that is growing rapidly. We just signed a contract with Minnesota. We're in Oregon. We are working on Colorado. Working on Michigan.
Yeah.
So we have
I'm looking to get you on Broadway in New York.
We're working on that too. Yeah,
absolutely.
We have a great salesperson
out
east.
Yes, and you have tremendous information. When people go, they can find out all the information when they go to gobrewing.com. Does that take them to your Instagram and all those groups?
You can get to our Instagram through there on the bottom, but you probably want to look at either our product lineup, or you can look at our beer finder, like where to find us, and it'll if you allow your GPS, it'll find the nearest location to you. Chances are we're somewhere near you. You could pick us up that way, or buy online. After $40, we give you free shipping. You'll have it in your house in 2 days. So in this case, by the weekend across the United States.
When's your next marathon, my friend?
I have an event called High Rocks coming up, so I don't have any marathons on the books, but High Rocks is more of an event I'm into now. It's more high intensity, about an hour and a half, and it's a mix between running and strength.
Yeah, really, man. Yeah, you got to pay attention to overuse, my friend. You know what I mean? We're talking about sports medicine, staying as injury-free as you can as you're starting to pile things on in one regard or another. But that's a good mixture. Strength training is so important in any particular area. And I tell athletes all the time, the two things you want to add to your program, man, strengthen those feet and ankles and work balance, work stability. Joe Chura, thanks so much for coming back. We'll keep our eye on you. Again, he is the founder of Go Brewing, gobrewing.com. Hold on, Joe. Thanks, everybody. We'll be right back with Sports Doctors In. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com.
aurora.com. If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Sports Doctor is In segment, where we preview some upcoming guests and topics. We add a little Dr. Bob wisdom, throw in a baseball blue book question, answer a couple emails. By the way, sportsdoctorradio.com is down. It's being redone. Boy, that's a new world. Hopefully over this next X amount of weeks, we'll let you know. Otherwise, you could find out all sorts of information if you go to bbsradio.com/the sports doctor. Go to archives, check out past shows and topics. We got some great guests coming up. The master figure skating coach and founder of Vestibular Training Services, Sheila Thielen, returns. And vestibular training, they're working with all sorts of athletes. They're working with disabilities. Again, the world of being a triple spinner in figure skating or just having better balance and stability, the whole vestibular system. We're going to catch up with Sheila with what she's doing. And then Sarah McLeod, Dr. McLeod, the world of addiction, codependency. You know, we were just talking the alcohol world, but pain medicine, addiction problems, huge in sports and non-sports alike. Following week, we're going to touch base with Dr. Gary Sprouse, and he's going to be talking all things stress and ways of paying attention to doing things to reduce stress, enhance rest and recovery. We'll go to Dr. Bob Wisdom. I want to share the late, great sports psychologist, Jim Vickery. Jim shared the radio show world with me at College of DuPage in the 90s, the great WDCB station. And Jim would add I got the whole term mental game working with him, but I wanted to share one of his main pearls for sports parents or coaches, and that's don't be a critic. On that ride home after the game or whatever happens to be, sports, mom and dad, including coaches, don't be a critic. Be a good listener. Chime in other ways. Great point that Dr. Vickery used to talk about when he was dealing with parents of youngsters, even at very, very high levels, where there tended to be such pressure on these kids. The baseball blue book question has to do with the question mark. Teenagers getting Tommy John surgery? Wow. Dr. Chris Ahmad, he's been a frequent guest on the Sports Doctor. He is the team orthopedic surgeon for the New York Yankees. And he has been doing all sorts of articles online talking about the 50th anniversary of the famous Dr. Frank Job surgery, Tommy John surgery, and including the discussions. Again, when we talk of overuse, too much, too aggressive, too soon, all of a sudden now seeing these elbow problems that were never seen in kids popping up much more commonly, not only pitchers, too much throwing. So we need to pay attention. When I used to be on monthly, gosh, a few years ago with the famous ex-Yankee Cardinal pitcher, prolific author, Dr. Vickery, another Dr. Vickery, we were talking about the situation, you know, with Lou Vickery, his Lou in the Morning, and he was in the Panhandle area, ex-baseball player, of course, talking about all these arm problems with these young kids. So this is something that parents and coaches really need to be paying attention to when it comes to these kids and how aggressive the tremendous stress on velocity, velocity, velocity. We used to think it was early curveballs that were more of a problem with these little leaguers, and it ends up being overthrowing in so many areas. A couple of emails. Ellen says, my 12-year-old daughter is a cross-country runner. She's had shin splints. Gosh, it was 2.5 years on and off. There was no stress fracture. Ellen, probably 80% of persistent shin problems, especially insides of the shins, are foot related, famous for flat or overpronated feet. I can't tell you how many runners that orthotics have been magic for these chronic shin problems. One of the concerns is the feet don't hurt, they're not paid big attention to. So yes, strengthening, physical therapy, intelligent rest, shoe selection, all very, very important, but pay big attention to including an analysis regarding orthotics. Even if, I don't care if she doesn't have any foot discomfort at all, by the way, she'll be 2 steps quicker. The more the foot flattens aggressively, the more the muscles that slow that motion down, a la the inner part of the shins, the posterior tibial tendon, overwork. Tom says, I'm a 55-year-old jogger. I was diagnosed with heel spurs and plantar fasciitis. Is this a surgical concern? Almost never, Tom. Your doctor recommends surgery out of the box. Get another opinion. Almost all heel spurs. Heel spurs are a proliferation of bone, usually on the bottom of the heel, developed by constant pulling and tearing of the attachment of the plantar fascia, the big band of muscle on the bottom of the foot, to the heel. It's irritated, it's aggravated, it gets inflamed, and eventually, over years, there could be bony formation, usually, again, conservatively supporting the foot properly is very, very helpful. Orthotics, the magic for heel spur syndrome, as we call it, or plantar fasciitis, and sometimes cortisone injections could be helpful or needed, strengthening of the areas, stretching, but rarely is it a surgical problem. Interesting, we had so much great feedback. I wrote an article about sports podiatry for the Sports Pharmacy magazine. You can find it online about the role of sports podiatry, whether it was paying attention, again, in youth sports to the tremendous proliferation of over-the-counter anti-inflammatories or pain medicines. So this is something that is definitely great information, Q&A with a previous guest of ours, Jessica Beal-Stahl, one of the producers and contributors to the magazine, Sports Pharmacy. Another show flew by in Illinois. We're looking for those trillion cicadas. I'll let you know. Thanks, everybody. See you next week. The Sports Doctor.